Amen. Good morning. How's everyone? Good, good, good. 1 Corinthians, where we're going to be? 1 Corinthians 13, 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. I feel like there was something else I was going to say. I know I should write it down. I'm notorious for that. I do the same thing at work. You know, I think, oh, I'm going to say this, and I think I'm going to remember, right? At least here, I think I got God on my side, right? Lua? Let's hope so. Right, Mr. Jerry? Amen. He'll put it in there in a minute, and I'll get stumbled up. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Lord, thank you for our visitors and the people that are out vacationing and going about running over and visiting family and those kind of things. And Lord, we just pray for all those folks. Pray for the folks on the back of our bulletin that need healing and a blessing and any direction. And so we just pray for all those people on the back of our bulletin, Lord. We don't ever want to forget that. Lord, we pray for the military and our foreign missionaries. And Lord, we do lift up Vacation Bible School. And that you'll bless it, that your will be done. And then we pray for America, Father, that you'll help us. All the situations that go on around the world, Father, we just trust you and place our hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, so this morning we're going to talk about the mooring lines of hope. And I have a little prop here. I'm not sure if I'm going to use it or not. But I won't throw it down and break it, though, I promise you, on that one. And, but 1 Corinthians 13, 13, it says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Now, most of us know that the Bible tells us hope is the anchor of our soul. And you guys know I teach good Baptist theology here, that our soul is our mind, will, and our emotions. You know, we have a spirit. You know, we are a spirit, and we have a body, and we have a soul, and the soul is made up of our mind, will, and emotions. So the Bible tells us that hope is the anchor of our soul. Okay? Hope acts as a beacon. It's keeping us connected for what we're believing for. So whatever we're believing for, whether it's a lost grandchild or a lost child or our marriage to be healed, whatever we're believing for, we need to express our hope. Our hope. This is very, very important. And these days, hope is one of the words we tend to use rather superficially. Most people do. Now, I don't really condone playing the lottery, but I would like to use it as an example of how some people think these days. They may say, "I hope I win the lottery." And really what they're saying is, "I wish I could win the lottery." But they don't have a lot of confidence in this, and they know that they're probably not going to do it. So they see hope as a feeling or a desire that something might or might not come true. And like I said, they don't have much confidence in this. Some people bring that same understanding of the word hope with them when they come and start reading and studying the Bible. And it's a lot more than that. Worldly or humanistic hope is really no hope at all. However, biblical hope, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, biblical hope brings peace and joy, and it's eternal. Biblical hope is eternal. Now, this kind of biblical hope is very, very important. In fact, it's so important that it's one of the three things that Apostle Paul mentions that is eternal. He said, faith, hope, and love. These things last forever. And the greatest of these are love. I'm not going to talk about love this morning, okay? That's we talk about that every Sunday morning, really. In the Christian world, faith and love are always talked about. But sometimes hope, people talk about it less. And it's unfortunate because really the biblical hope, our biblical hope is a lot more than what some people understand. And we're going to dive into that a little bit this morning. We're going to talk about Old Testament hope and New Testament hope. So we'll look at the Hebrew word and we'll look up the Greek word of this. And I think it's important because as I was digging into it this week, I learned some really cool things. I'll just be honest with you. It was really, really good. The New Testament Greek word for hope is pronounced elpis. Elpis, spelled E-L-P-I-S. Elpis. And listen to the meaning of this Greek word. And this is the New Testament, what we just read, okay? It means to anticipate with longing. To have expectations with confidence. Think about that. We anticipate this with longing, with that strong desire, and with confidence we know that God listens to us. We know that God loves us. We know that His Word is true. In the Bible, hope carries with it an expectations of the outcome that it will come to pass. Now, guys, this is far more powerful than a simple wish or a simple desire or some kind of crazy pipe dream. This is a lot more powerful, a lot deeper of what we're talking about here, this biblical hope. When the Bible talks about hope, it's referring to something that's anticipated. We have joy thinking about it. We have gladness when we think about this biblical hope. As believers, we have hope that we're going to heaven. This makes us excited and full of joy and gladness. We see it in the Bible, so it stirs up this hope, this eternal, everlasting hope that, yeah, it might be tough right now, but in the end, I'm going to heaven. God loves me. We have an expectance. We can expect this. Yes, we can expect this to happen with confidence. We can put 100% of our confidence in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. This is the good news. This is the gospel of Jesus. Amen? This gives me hope. This is biblical hope. When we see promises in the Bible, we get excited and truly expect them to come to pass just like God said He would. His promises are always true. Why do I get excited about this biblical hope? First thing is it's not some wish. It's not some over-exaggerated religious thing that people come up with sometimes. This is biblical hope founded on the Word of God. Now, I know, I see a lot of folks, I know a lot of you of what you're going through. Just because we've talked and, you know, had some interaction. But I know that there are times on this earth when the storms of life rage around us. And we feel like our boat is going to sink. Some of you may be in a place now where you think, any day now, my boat is going underwater. But if we will open up the Bible, if we'll get on our knees, if we'll read God's Word and study His Word, we know there's hope. We'll linger over it. We know that it's true. We're anticipating, expecting God at any minute to help us, to be there, to rescue us. It's kind of reminds me of a story. It's kind of like an old salty sailor in a stormy sea at night, catching his first glimpse of a lighthouse. He can now get a bearing to sail his ship to safety. That's the same way with us. We can also plot the true course of our life based on God's Word. And if we just follow God, things will be all right. We'll still have flat tires, won't we? Air conditioning still break. Goldfish dies. You know, something bad happens. Tree falls on our roof. Life happens. The Bible says, right? It rains on the just and the unjust alike. But as a Christian, born again, child of God, we can place our hope in God. Not in the insurance company or the government or whatever. We know God is going to be there and help us. Because of hope, we can expect a good ending to our story, even if it don't look right or good right now. Because we know from the Bible that God is for us. It goes on to say, if God's for us, then who could be against us? And also, guess what? Each one of us are part of His eternal plan. Each one of us. We're part of God's plan. Now, I mentioned at the beginning, starting the message, that there are three things that Paul says that are eternal. Faith, hope, and love. Now, faith and hope, if you study these subjects, faith and hope go really together. They're kind of like peanut butter and jelly, or peas and carrots. They really do. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is a substance. Everybody say substance. One more time. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, stay with me. I'm kind of getting on a teaching mode here, so hang with me, because this is very exciting to me. So maybe it's just me, but hang in there. Faith is a substance hoped for. Okay? The evidence of things not seen. Faith is real. It's tangible. You might not can see it. It's a substance. Faith has substance. I mean, you can't see the wind. You can't see a small microscopic organism, right? A little amoeba, is that what it's called? You can't see it, but it's real. Hope is like the precursor to faith. It leads the way and opens the door to faith. In fact, I don't think it's too big to, it's not a big stretch to say that faith wouldn't exist without hope. And none of them will exist without love. But I don't want to get sidetracked with love there. Now, in the Old Testament, we see what I think is a really good word picture of what I'm talking about right here. So stay with me. In the Hebrew, with the Old Testament, most of it was written in Hebrew, right? The Hebrew word for hope is this right here. It's pronounced tigva. I think I got that right. Tigva. It's spelled T-I-Q-W-A. That's the Hebrew word. Tigra. And it means this. Listen, it means, this is the word hope in the Old Testament. Okay? It means, literally, it means a cord attached to something I long for. Isn't that amazing? It's a cord attached to something that I long for. That's the definition in the Old Testament for hope. In the New Testament, remember, it was something a little bit different. The Old Testament uses a word that means a cord. It's like a line or a rope connecting us to the things we are having faith for. Everybody get it? Okay, Adam, I'm going to do it. Come on. I got this little example here. Don't laugh at me. I've been praying 3 days about whether I do this or not. So I kind of waited until the last minute, and the Lord told me to do it. So, right? Faith. Faith. Adam will pretend like, just go with me. Pretend like he's going to, don't do it though. Like he's gonna, on a cliff, and he's falling backwards, and he falls off this little cliff, and he's hanging on to this tree. Little root, you know. Oh, help, help. And he's thinking, well, I hope someone comes and saves me. Right? Now, Derry can come running over and, hey, leaning over the cliff. Hey, oh man, I'll be praying for you. Hang in there, Adam. Reach out. Oh man, I'm probably praying for you, brother. Put you on the prayer list at the church. All of a sudden, the limb cracks a little bit. And I'm like, ah! So, and I know it's a silly example, but it makes a good point, and I'll close it up in a minute with a message. But his faith, right? His faith, okay, this rope in the Old Testament, anyway, I really didn't want to knock him out with it. Connects the hope. The faith connects the hope, and now what happened? Now, with God's help, I'm not God, but with God's help, let's give him a hand, y'all. Yay. I told him I was going to do something, you know. So I wanted him to stretch his faith and realize it was going to be all right. Really think about this now, okay? I saw, and Mr. Jerry's here, I know he could relate to that too. And a lot of you guys in the military, but I saw a great visual of this during my years in the Marine Corps working around Navy ships. And I'm sure Anita and Derry saw this on their recent cruise adventure, okay? Right? As most of us know, those big ships are held to the dock with mooring lines, okay? And mooring lines are basically just big old ropes, real thick ropes. They're about 4 inches in diameter, most of them, you know. And our last cruise ship, Lynn and I went on, we were walking along, and I was taking pictures. I was watching these guys, you know, do this mooring line and get connected, and I was thinking how it applies, you know, everything. I was like, whoa, I could do a sermon on this. Anyway, remember that one that was duct taped? They had this giant ship out there, and it was the mooring lines were duct tape, you know, like they had to mend it or whatever, you know, and it was just duct tape. I took a picture of it. I wish I could have used it. It was crazy. But it's not unusual for ships to have maybe 6 or 8 of these mooring lines out to the dock to keep the ship sturdy. And so you have these little ropes basically, you know, holding these tens and thousands of tons of whatever they're made of, steel and iron, all holding this thing steady. Now, these ropes, I'm going somewhere with them, because I'm going to have to read a little bit of this, so you'll hang with me. These ropes are small compared to the ship, obviously, and they're still pretty heavy. You can think about, you know, about that big, about the size. What is 4-inch diameter? Softball? Pretty much that size of rope. I mean, you're not going to throw that rope, you know, from the ship to the dock. It's just too heavy. So, and I started studying this, and I was like, oh my Lord, how this connects. And so the solution was they would use these smaller ropes. They're kind of like heavy ski ropes or something like that. And these ropes are called, seriously, they're called this, a messenger line. A messenger line. That's what this would be called. And they tie this knot. I was asking Heath this morning, and it took me like an hour watching three different YouTube videos to learn how to tie this knot. It's called a monkey fist. That's what it's called. And the real one would be real heavy. And they would sling that thing, sling it over on the ship. And they would sling it to the little guys on the dock. So they would grab this mooring line. I mean, they would grab this messenger line and pull it all the way until they got the actual mooring line across and up on the dock. And then they would hook the mooring line to the post there on the dock. And the line handers then would notify the captains, and they would use their winches to pull that mooring lines and pull that big old giant ship right up to the dock and secure it right there. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. How all this just real practical thing just applies to our lives. See, guys, this is a great picture of biblical hope. This is how hope really kind of works in our lives. You see, in the initial connection, that bridge the gap. Because remember, you got a ship right here, and you got the ship can only get so close. And then there's a gap. There's a gulf. Some of you know what I'm talking about? And there's where we want to be, or where we want to go. And you can't get from there here to there. I mean, there's maybe hundreds of feet of water and sharks and everything else down in there. So they would throw this over to the side, over that gulf, and pull it in. It's the initial connection that bridges the gap between what is and what our faith can bring to pass. When we really trust God with what's going on in our lives. So when we are expecting that something is really going to happen, this connects us to the thing in the spiritual world that our faith will then pull across into the natural world. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is tangible because Jesus is tangible. Jesus is real. He's real. He's not some history story. He's not some mystical thing or super spiritual, hyper religious thing. Jesus is real right now. He's real. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying for us and interceding for us, watching out for us, caring for us. Jesus is tangible. Jesus is real. After his resurrection, they saw him. They heard him. They touched him. They walked with him. Jesus is the rope that connects our hope. Jesus is the rope that connects our hope. The rope that crosses the great divide. Jesus is our great hope. My friends, place all your faith in him. Place all your faith in him. No matter what you're going through in life right now, take your eyes off your problems. I know it's difficult and it's hard. And sometimes we may have to do it 100 times a day. But take your eyes off your problems. And take your eyes and put them on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. If we look at his promises, trusting that God is true to his word, we can get excited about walking in faith with him and living out our hope in him. Amen? Guys, this is how to truly experience the biblical hope that we have. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. As always, Lord, it helps us. It encourages us. It gives us strength, guidance, direction. It corrects us when we need to be corrected. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die on the cross and was raised on that third day. So, Father, if there's anyone here this morning who'd like to meet you, you know, give their life to Christ, I just pray during this song of invitation they'll come down and I'll be glad to pray with them. In Jesus' name, amen.